And welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Chris Malikabhadra, and today on the show, I have two amazing guests with me. I have Rania and Joal, who work with GenVest. Welcome on the show, both of you. How are you doing?
Thank you. Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Pleasure is all mine. Before I introduce the guests to our listeners, I would like to start the show by acknowledging the traditional owners of the country. I come from the land of the Kulin Nation, and I would also like to extend my respect to the elders, past, present, and emerging. All right, Rania and Joel, first of all, thank you so much for joining me. Can I please get yourselves to share a little bit about yourselves to our listeners? Rania, I'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Rania, and I work at the communications team at GenWorks, and I've been part of the team for 2 years now. I'm still quite new to comms, and I used to work for social work, and I also identify myself as a victim survivor of family violence.
Thank you, Rania. You are.
Hi, I am a lived experience advocate and advisor. Why I love to do lived experience advocacy is because having a lived experience of trauma and being able to participate in services to create better services for women and children experiencing trauma, we can create a better world together.
Absolutely, 100%. Thank you so much. And just as a little request to our listeners, we are talking about trauma, we are talking about family violence and lived experiences. Some of this conversation could or might get a bit heavier for you to listen to. If at any point of the time you feel that you want to step away, please feel free to do so. Step out of the conversation, take care of your mental health, and come back and listen to it when you're ready. All right. I've heard from both of you about some of the work, almost the work you do at GenVest, but if I can please get you to expand on that a little bit. What do you do at GenVest? What prompted you to do what you're doing? Joel, this time I'll start with you first, please.
So, yeah, I am in a group with GenVest called the Survivor Advisory Group. We're a group of women who come from all backgrounds, all ages, all ethnicities, all different professional backgrounds. Sorry. But we have one thing in common, which is a lived experience of family violence. We've been clients ourselves of GenVest, and now we come together to form a group, an advisory group, in what is called consumer participation. And we work quite closely with the executive team. So we're in meetings with the evaluation and policy coordinator, the CEO even of GenVest, and even the Orange Door program manager, who, and the Orange Door actually is an access point for people experiencing family violence who need to access services. So we come together with ourselves as lived experience advocates, as well as the executive team, to address key aspects of GenVest program design. And discuss how we can, you know, better create programs and delivery for service users currently going through receiving a service at GenVest.
Thanks, John.
So I mentioned earlier that I work within the communications team. And before, so actually this is my first official communications role. Before this role and coming to GenVest, I actually used to be a social worker. I used to work with women from refugee and asylum seeker backgrounds and multi-faith communities. But after experiencing a lot of burnout, and just, if I'm going to be honest, it started becoming too much, I kind of wanted to still work with victim survivors and kind of my clients, but in a different way. So what I did was come to communications basically. Why I chose GenWest is because it was actually one of the few organizations that I felt genuinely values accessibility and I care about their victims as well. I then wanted to do this by, instead of working in the front lines, still communicating to communities and making sure that survivors or people who are experiencing family violence were experiencing like receiving support in a very accessible way. And as well, I've also came to GenWest because I know someone who used to work here and they told me how much they loved it. And it's essentially the first few workplaces that I've identified as a victim survivor. And I find that working here, I've been treated so well and supported. I'm not treated like I'm fragile, and I feel quite empowered and accepted and held by my team. So,
That's
yeah.
beautiful. Beautiful, both of you. Thank you. All right. I'll move on to you, Joelle. I wanted to ask you, how does trauma affect the mental health of the survivor?
So, trauma affects the mental health of survivors of family violence quite strongly. Trauma affects the mental health of both women and children experiencing family violence. As you can imagine, trauma is complex and trauma needs a needs support, and women and children need wraparound support in receiving a service for their mental health. So we know in stats that women and children who've experienced family violence, unfortunately, when the children grow up, the stats say that those children who become adults are more prone to again living a life where they experience family violence again in their own relationships. So receiving support and receiving counseling for mental health is definitely something that needs to happen. And as a survivor of domestic violence and a former client of GenWest, knowing that GenWest have amazing counseling services for both women and children, is heartening to know that this could potentially break the cycle of these children growing up with the trauma of what they experienced, and hopefully breaking the cycle of what can happen in future, and they don't repeat and go back into family violence in their own relationships when they get older.
Thank you.
Mental health is very, as we know, we need to take care of our mental health. And when it comes to children, we definitely need to take care of our children's mental health.
100%.
And
Thank you. Well, yeah.
I just wanted to add, as women as well, and as mothers, we don't choose to go through family violence, and we don't want to, we want to protect our children as much as possible, so if there is a way that we can do that by providing counseling for our children, where we know that they can grow up and feel more empowered in themselves and more, worthy in themselves, that they don't get into relationships where they then, go through family violence themselves. That's what, of course, as mothers, that's all we could hope for, is that we can do the best we can for our children. And knowing that GenWest have these services where we can get help for our kids as well as ourselves for our mental health, it's something that really needs, it really needs to be done, and it's not done very often.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. You're listening to Accent of Women, produced in the studios of 3CR in Fitzroy, Victoria, and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. We are talking about the impact of family violence and trauma and the experience from lived experiences and their journeys. Rania, coming to you, how do children get, we heard a bit about that from Joel, but I want to just hear your experience as well. How do children get
Yeah.
impacted when they experience family violence at a very young age?
So children are deeply impacted by family violence, and this happens even though they don't see it directly. Just living in an environment shaped by violence can affect them emotionally, psychologically, and physically. When I was a child, I did experience abuse physically and emotionally, and my body went into survival mode. I didn't know what was happening was wrong, and I also assumed at the time that it was my fault. I thought I was the reason for the abuse, why my parents kept fighting, and I thought it was a result as because of me or my siblings. I also assumed that we were letting them down and we were a disappointment. To cope, I then developed survival mechanisms, which I wasn't even conscious of, which then in my 20s, those mechanisms stopped working. And eventually the trauma started catching up with me. I started experiencing mental health challenges. And this looked like depression, anxiety, night terrors, and a lot of anger. It affected my relationships, my ability to focus at uni, and later in life, basically in my workplace. So children who are experiencing violence are often carrying anxiety, fear, there's guilt, confusion, and low self-esteem, which I especially ch had challenges with, which then impacts their behavior when they're learning in school and then their future relationships. I even like now have so many memories that I realize now I was acting a certain way as a teenager that I now ex kind of felt shameful about, which I'm working on, but I now realize it was more for a cry for help or attention. And I didn't get the support at the time because unfortunately the adults in my life at that time didn't pick up the signs. So, and I will say that it was a different time back then and a lot has changed since then. But if children don't get the support they need, they might either fall into unhealthy relationships or, worst case, even begin to mirror harmful behaviors from their perpetrator. So I was lucky enough to get support when I did, and learn that I was experiencing PTSD and that I could unlearn these behaviors that I picked up as a child. And the biggest thing, I would say my biggest takeaway as well, that I now learned that it wasn't my fault what I experienced, and it was never my responsibility to make sense of the violence that I was living through. So that's why it's so important to recognize children as victim survivors in their own right. And actually, when I talk about this at Gen West, we're actually currently focusing on this, and we run a children's counseling service that provides trauma-informed support to children who are experiencing family violence. And last year, I think we were supporting around 280 people, and there was like 100 children, kids on the wait list. And we're actually working now to open a new counseling hub, a new children's counseling hub in Melbourne's West. And if you're listening and right now and you want to support and fundraise, you can go onto the website www.givenow.com.au/GenWestCounseling. You could even search up Give Now Gen West Counseling. That would make a huge difference.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. That's profound. And I think as children, we don't quite realize what we are going through, but it only when it starts hitting us, that is when some of the damage is done. But thanks to you guys for doing what you're doing. The next thing I want to ask both of you are that, we've talked about family violence, we talked about children subjected to family violence. What are some of the immediate steps we can take to raise awareness on family violence? Joel Listom, I'll start with you, and Rani, I'll come to you.
Right.
I think some of the immediate steps that we can take just to raise awareness in family violence is to be aware in our own personal lives that family violence exists. I feel like there is such a big stigma in every community regarding family violence, and people love to put on a brave face and just pretend everything's okay. And, especially mothers, women with children, are great at just putting on a brave face and carrying on. But the reality is that family violence exists, and it's quite prevalent in our society. It's actually the number one cause of homelessness in Australia. So there's a lot of flow-on effect because of family violence. And I guess having awareness in our own personal lives that, family violence exists it can unfortunately happen to anyone. It's not something that just happens to certain people or in certain communities. Family violence unfortunately touches everybody. And, to be aware in our own personal circles with our friends and family, that if we can keep an open mind, and if someone comes to you to discuss family violence, be a listening ear and have an open mind and be a safe space and hold space for your person, for that family member, for that community member, for that friend, because we need to break down the stigma that family violence only happens to whoever. It touches everybody. And we can't, I don't think it's healthy, speaking about mental health and trauma before, it's not healthy to just put on a brave face and all the time and carry the burden of life on our own. I don't think that's what we're supposed to do as humans, That's why community is so important. So if we can just be aware ourselves that, family violence does happen in our community, and to hold a safe space for someone, if they share something with you, don't be judgmental.
Yeah, Joel, you can't see, but I'm nodding my head throughout everything you're saying. Yeah, everything is so right. Yeah. I was just gonna add to that, like, yeah, it's honestly just about starting the conversations with family, friends, community, even at work. We need to normalize these conversations because the reality is that it's happening. It's happening in your own backyard, within your own community. And I think it's important that you just never know who is listening. And someone who's going through it might be hearing someone speak up, and it might help that victim survivor feel seen and safe to reach out, which Joel touched on. Also, follow organizations like Gen West on their social media because we're constantly sharing tools and tips in understanding and supporting those who are impacted by family violence as well. Like, educate yourself and educate others.
Thank you. I think you have answered the next question that I was about to ask you as well, which was that your message to our listeners, that is that educate yourself, please don't be judgmental, hold a safe space, and please follow Gen West for that amazing work that they're doing.
Yeah,
Yes, please.
could I add on to something that I think Joelle and I will both agree that if we want to let listeners know, if you are experiencing or have experienced family violence, that you're not alone. It's not your fault. There is help available, and you deserve to reach out for support. There's amazing people like Joelle who have a lived experience who are fighting for more resources and better systems for victims. And yeah, like we just said earlier, be part of the change, start the conversations, challenge the stigma, and keep learning because we all have a role in building a safer community. Yeah, sorry, I wanted to add that on, but that was okay.
No, that's all good. Thank you, Rania. Thank you for that. And that's all we have got time for today. We just heard Rania and Joel from Gen Best about their own lived experiences about how trauma impacts mental health of the survivors, why family violence awareness is much needed, and why it should not be a stigma anymore. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally by the Community Radio Network, with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. The music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Kinjeli. If you want to hear this show again or any of your previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program, and I'm Chris Malikabhadra, and we look forward to your company again next week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I am Chris Malika Bhadra, and today or tonight we will be listening to a speech from the weekly Sunday Palestine rally in Nam, Melbourne on Mother's Day 2025 on 11th of May. This is a speech by Dr. Beenish Chaudhary, lecturer, activist and member of the group Moms for Palestine. A trigger warning for all our listeners: this contains graphic discussions of military violence and death, another kind of violence which is kind of seen against the Palestinian people with lasting effects such as mental health and PTSD. So I would request our listeners to kindly step out from the discussion if they feel that they are getting triggered by this discussion.
All children are our children. And in these grieving times, we can feel the pain of the mothers of Palestine as we remember the children of Palestine killed in the last 19 months. And for that, I am the mother of Hind Rajab, who pleaded over the phone to rescue her from a car which was riddled with 335 bullets, killing her with her six family members. Her screaming over the phone has rolled over the internet for months, and her picture has become the face of Palestinian children. Hind would have turned seven had she not been killed. I'm the mother of Reem, three-year-old Reem, famously known as Ruhar Ruh, and her five-year-old brother Tariq. They were killed while sleeping in their homes. They kept asking for fruits, but there was no food during the war. You all remember the saying by their grandfather, Khalid Nabhan, who was also killed in December last year. I am the mother of Tala Abu Ajwa, the 10-year-old. Do you all remember the pink rollerblades that took over the internet last year? Tala had managed to survive 332 days of war. The bombardment, the hunger, and uncertainty. They had fled on foot from one place to another 8 times in 11 months, sometimes in the middle of the night. Tala kept asking her parents, "Why can't I have a life just like other kids of the world?" I am the mother of Jude, who kept asking for noodles from his parents, but there wasn't any food in Gaza until the day he passed away. And her parents finally had the noodles, and they kept showing it to his corpse. I am the mother of Ahmed Al-Najjar, the 1.5-year-old beheaded baby of Gaza. The internet saw a man holding him up and keeping his corpse raised for the world to bear witness, while Biden kept lying to the world about the 40 beheaded babies. Shame! They never found Ahmed's head, and they buried him without it. I am the mother who ran out of Nusriyat camp in the middle of the night because apparently Israeli drones faked the sound of crying babies and kids. I ran out for rescue. I was sniped along with my family. I was killed because I cared, because I was concerned. I am the mother of the girl who was killed during the attack on Nusriyat camp in broad daylight, killing 274 of us, including 64 children, and injuring 689. As the world celebrated the rescue of four Israeli fucking hostages on the 8th of June last year, Israeli army disguised as Palestinians in civilian clothes and cars opened a fire and bombs from all locations. As my family was trying to flee, a shell fell on their father, killing him instantly. But there was no time to mourn. Only enough to flee the scene to save myself and my daughter. Our fates to this day are unknown. I am the mother of every child killed in the flower massacre in March last year, when a military truck disguised as an aid truck ambushed the starved people of Gaza, who had gathered for hours to get some flour from their family, only to be killed by a fire or by getting rolled over by a truck. The Israeli troops felt threatened by the number of unarmed staff people, so they just decided to kill us? Shame! I am the mother of the children who were sheltering in a school and died among 100 others in the bombing famously known as the Fajr massacre, all killed while praying. My child's doll was found on the floor along with food tins and body pieces. I'm also the mother who received the dead body of my child in a plastic bag after the Fajr massacre. I was told it's heavy enough to be body of one and I should consider it my own and bury him. I'm the mother of the child who's went to buy biscuits for his son, only to return to find the child dead and the mother dead as well. He placed the biscuits in the child's hand and said, "Take these biscuits with you to the heavens." I'm the mother of the twins, Asar and Aisel, whose father went out to get birth certificates for the newborn, returning to find the mother, the twins, and the grandmother killed by a strike. I'm the mother of the two boys who were hanging from a building as it was hit by a missile, with their eyes popping out. I'm the mother of the child whose body was received with half of the head gone. But alhamdulillah, I could recognize my child from his face, even if there was no head. I am the mother dragging her kids as we are forced to relocate again and again. I am the mother of the child who was being treated outside a tent in Al-Aqsa Hospital. Israel bombed the tent. The child was burned alive. The whole world saw him burning and heard his screams as his body melted in fire. I'm the mother of the child who was carrying the body of his brother in his backpack. I'm the mother of every journalist killed by the Zionists for showing the truth to the world. I'm the mother of the child who froze to death. I'm the mother of Waleed Ahmed, the first child in Gaza who died due to starvation. And I'm the mother of every child who died afterwards. I am the mother who wrote the names of her kids on the legs so someone could post it on the internet. And someday I would know that my kids have been killed and not taken away. I'm the mother of every child who has been forcefully taken into an Israeli prison and is being tortured. I'm the mother who kissed the feet of her son as his body was taken for burial. I'm the mother of the child whose legs were being handed down from the rubble on this Friday. I'm the mother of the child shivering on the floor of the hospital because he can't find me. I'm the mother whose child is still under the rubble, and I'm hoping to find him alive. You kill my children, you take away our homes, our livelihood, put our kids in prison, keep them hungry, then you expect us to stay quiet, to stay subservient? We will be loud, we will be proud. You can put all the laws that you want. You can try silencing us as much as you want, only to see this movement growing bigger and bigger. We have seen people from varying backgrounds joining us, because it's not very hard to see the wrong in this equation. My friends, just because we have roof over our heads doesn't mean we don't need to be concerned about others.
And that's all we have got time for today. We just heard Dr. Beinish Chaudhary from the Sunday Palestine Rally in now Melbourne on 11th of May talk about the effects on Palestinian people as we speak. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Kinjeri. If you want to hear this show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Chris Malika Bhadra, and we look forward to your company again next week.